Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's the Doom Slayers.
Yes, that's right. Our first live show is happening at Mayo Pride. How exciting.
I prefer ketchup.
We'll be bringing a special version of our cosmically acclaimed podcast with additional sketches, musical numbers, and of course, a lot of doom to slay on the 1st of June 2024.
Tickets are
8 euro and 0, 0 cents.
And are available on
www.mayopride.com.
Get your tickets now and slay it to our faces!
I think routine is very important. One thing I started doing is like first thing in the morning, like I open my eyes and I just go, ah!
Now, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Doom Slayers, the podcast where we ponder and pontificate on the horrors of being a Homo sapien and what can feel like the conclusion of our earthly presence. My name is Annie Queries.
I'm Layla Busey.
And I'm Donna Fella.
And together we are three loose women here to guide you through the doom and gloom of our dystopian present with an asinine antidote of appalling advice so you may slay away the modern malaise.
Willkommen and bienvenue.
Welcome. Yes, hello and welcome to our first episode, girls.
Days. Fun to be here.
So yay, here we are at our first episode.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, so good. So good and gorgeous.
Yeah, she's been a long time brewing.
She has. She's been on a low simmer for quite some time.
Yes, she's been
skin has formed.
She's been reduced to nothing.
Yeah, globular.
Yes. I'm glad we took our time though. Well, I think if we had started when we wanted to start, it wouldn't look like this.
Oh, weak sauce.
Yes,
good things come to those who wait and terrible things come to those who didn't want to wait and weren't planning on waiting for anything.
And like, there's so much competition out there with podcasts. I'm glad that we
what
have.
What do you mean?
I don't agree. I think we're the first.
I thought this was the first one.
That's true.
This
we're
the
really
very first
the beginning of a revolution here. But no, I do think that, you know, an aimless podcast, it wasn't going to work.
No.
We can't get by on our charm alone, I'm afraid to say.
No, we have a very clear MO, don't we?
Yes.
We've called ourselves the Doomslayers because we are well-versed in existential dread. Or doom, if you will. And by soldiering on through the doom, we can find a way to slay it and banish it, you know. So that's basically how we live our lives. Just, you know, just careening from existential dread and horror to one to the next.
Yes.
And so we feel we're well positioned to give really worthy and useful advice.
Do we?
Yes, as long as we feel that's all that matters.
As long as we're convinced of our own expertise, that proves the expertise. I am, therefore, I doomslay.
There's nothing.
That's not what my tattoo says.
You cannot bring to the doomslayers. We're well versed in all aspects of life, I think.
Yes. Yes, we've made enough mistakes for everybody.
Everyone.
Yeah, as long as your problem relates to being queer, not straight, and
vaginoplasties.
Yeah. Vaginoplasties. Yeah, that's our major
topic.
I've had both genitals, that works.
Talk about insight.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I've seen life from both sides.
There's been a lot of insight,
Yeah. And yours is the only vagina I've ever seen in person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel privileged.
Yeah.
And scarred.
It's the best.
So, it is. It's a good
it's
one.
It's not that scarred.
But yes. So what the idea is that each week we will have sort of like a very loose theme that we will discuss so we can share our own doom within this theme and help expunge it from our lives and from our souls. But we'll also give our listeners the opportunity to share their doom with us and we will advise on perhaps how they can slay their own doom.
Yes.
So it's kind of like a group purge, if you will, a sort of a collective exorcism.
With some take-home advice.
Yes.
Mm. Yes.
And your life will improve immeasurably.
It might not be advice you may take to your own particular home.
It might be old maiden type of advice.
It might be advice that should have been left back on the rack.
Yes, but if you follow our advice, you too could find yourself at 6 o'clock in the morning walking home as the sun comes up wondering, what the fuck am I doing? Which I think is pretty accurate representation of all of us.
Well, 6 is a bit early, actually.
Yeah. That's a good. That's us doing well. After that, our New Year's resolutions.
Coming home at 6 a.m. is probably when I feel most at home.
Yeah, actually, do you know what?
In tune with the world.
Yeah, I don't know why I use that as an example. I do like that we all took a little antacid before we started.
Oh, yes, Nexium all the way.
Yeah, our lifestyle gives us awful heartburn and indigestion.
Yes, it's you know, it's good for the soul, but bad for the gastrointestinal system. Mm. That's what I would say.
But who needs?
Who needs a GIT, girls?
I don't even know what the liver does.
Okay. I'm only out to get my MRS. For any listeners out there,
Mrs. MRS.
Mrs. What? Can be your husband. But the theme we have chosen for this week, or our first episode, is new beginnings.
How quaint.
I know. How
serendipitous.
Yeah. So obviously, it's our first ep. So we're starting a new venture. We're starting a new year.
Mm-hmm.
We're 2024.
Uh-huh.
So if we cast our minds back to 2023, a year in review, how does everyone feel they navigated their doom in a year gone by?
Well, was doom slayed in 2023? There definitely was doom.
There was doom.
A lot of doom.
I think, obviously, you know, we won't talk about pre-2023 because I don't think we fully need to. I think we all know.
We all know.
We know what
What's
that
up
was.
With her. Yeah.
So, I forgot. You weren't here.
No, I was in London.
Yeah, I know. You were on your year abroad.
She was in the cryogenic
chamber. I was in my coma getting my vagina for you.
That's how long it takes.
Yeah.
Yes. Hand stitch.
I was on the
finest silk.
I was on the sleep cure.
My 3 years of rest and relaxation.
Yeah.
So yeah, 2023 was like, you know, the first step towards the new normal. And I feel like we all started it with great optimism because, like, oh, finally, a year without her, you know. But I do feel like I just didn't fully trust her at any point.
No.
I think she was a bit skyone, is the word I'd use for, you know.
Which I love this. I love this word.
She's skyone. Lost smell of want off her. She's a bit more. She's a bit kind of like, can I have that? Do you know? Like, she's good crack, but. Yeah,
a bit desperate. A bit desperate.
There's always a question mark. The 2023?
Yeah.
You're bringing 2023 tonight.
She's like, the well-meaning girl who can be fun or it can go absolutely disastrously wrong. Do you know? Yeah. So you can never be comfortable with her.
Like, you'd have a ball with her, but I wouldn't ring her, like, if I was in a car crash or something.
Oh, Jesus, no.
Do you know?
Oh, no.
She's very hard to get through to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she wouldn't answer the phone anyway. So you can't get her on the phone.
I think that was 2023 for me, if that makes any sense. However, 2024, bring it to the floor.
Yeah.
I think she has great energy. She does. Like, well, she's very solid because the numbers all add up because 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah.
2 + 2 + 4 = 8. 8 is like a good number. Yeah. Nice and solid.
Round.
Round. Infinity symbol.
It's like, infinity. It's like round, like the breasts of your mother.
Yeah. I'm so. Not my mother.
Warm bosom.
Yeah. I'm so wary of ever being like, oh, this is the year. This is
But I don't know.
Yeah, because we were all saying that in 2020.
I feel it, guys. This is my year.
Yeah,
I distinctly remember my mother saying to me in 2020, this is the year of Layla, because I had two surgeries scheduled.
2020.
And neither of them happened. Can you guess why? We're not mentioning her.
No.
Okay.
But you could have argued that 2020 was a gorgeous number.
It was. You know? Well,
so
it should have been.
I'm questioning your decade. Logic now. Yeah, that's roaring 20s.
What an absolute.
More like screeching 20s.
Shoddy misfire.
There was a lot of roaring.
Yeah, it was more like caterwauling.
Yeah, wailing 20s.
Wailing. Keening. Bellowing.
Yeah, Wilhelm scream 20s. Blood-curdling 20s. Yeah, anyway. Very that. But we're out of it now. I think that's the main thing.
But I had to, like, although there was a significant level of doom in 2023. It was kind of like relapsing, remitting. It was kind of like it was there, then it was gone, then it was there, then it was gone. Because I think it was punctuated with loads of fun bits.
Oh, true. God,
yeah. Oh, I had a lot of fun in
such
that year,
a
yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Such a scream.
Yeah. Mm.
You know,
for people who aren't as whimsical as you two and who can't personify 2023 as in me. Yeah. I had no idea what that was, any of that was about.
I just had a really good year.
No, my biggest doom of 2023 was it took all of my money.
Oh, yes.
Oh, she's gone very dear.
Oh, God, she's gone very terrible expense.
I'm in.
How long are we in and Layla's brought up the cost of living?
Cosy Libby.
Cosy Libby.
It's only a matter of time. Well, see, that aligns.
See, every week we'll have Cosy Libby corners with Layla.
Yeah.
No, I...
How many podcasts do you need to talk about?
Cutting corners in the Cosy Libbies.
Not this isn't enough. No, but I was in significant debt towards the end of the year. Sure. I'm almost out of it.
Yeah,
and that feels good. That's and I'm good. Never letting myself get to that point. That's I feel like in your lifetime, if you're lucky and if you're smart, you let yourself get into debt once you realise how scary that is, and then you're sensible forever.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's nice to have a good underlying current of debt, just so you're never fully. So then when you're out of it, you're like, oh, now I can make more debt.
Yeah, well, like I'm never paying off that overdraft now, but that's money. That's my money.
Close the account.
-600 is the new zero.
Yeah, 100%. You know? Yeah. But I'm not like you. I don't have investments in a lot of areas. You know, I have one stream.
What do I have investments in? Madonna's success?
All your creative hopes and dreams.
Blue Ivy College.
For Lady Gaga's future.
You fingers in a lot of pies.
Ooh.
I don't know. I have one source of income. So it's easy to keep track. So that's my plan for 2024.
Well, yeah, I would say 2023 did rob me blind as well. Like, she shook me down to bits. Like,
well, you did go on like 5 week holidays.
I did.
So did you.
But see,
well, they weren't even holidays. They were like they were fucking investments.
Yeah.
Going to see the girls around the world.
All the girls. Yeah, because none of the girls would come to us.
No.
Yeah, we didn't get no Beyonce. No. Who else?
Well, we got Taylor Swift.
Oh, over.
I am.
This is about to become a Taylor Swift hate podcast.
No, that's
not. No, we won't go there.
I've done it too much. I moved to Paris for 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Oh, yes.
I don't. And we went to Paris as well, did we?
We went to Paris. That was last year.
I forgot you went there for 6 weeks.
Yeah, no. And just, I wonder why I have no money.
You just bed rotted in Paris.
Over there. I literally got off the plane and my bank account emptied spontaneously. Yeah. I don't know how.
Convalescing on the Champs-Élysées.
We would buy, our version of a poor night out, a cheap night out, was buying a bottle of champagne and drinking it along the Champs-Élysées.
There's a bit of glam.
Something
there.
A bit glam.
Thank you. Yeah, but that's not being broke.
But can we talk about the Champs-Élysées?
Yeah.
Now, okay. That is the biggest lie that was ever sold to us, I think, ever.
So.
I think she's gick. But they're doing her up. 2024.
Are they? Feel it
for the Olympics, yes.
Oh, yeah. The Olympics. In Irish. Yeah.
My Olympics.
I liked it. Well, I don't know. She better not Collins Street.
Oh, God. Well, yeah.
I mean, we can't be throwing stones in this glass house, to be fair.
No way.
I remember.
You're coming for the aesthetics of Paris, babe.
Well, you know, Paris is great, but the Champs-Élysées I just think needs a bit of work. Well, it's no or more.
It's no quadrangle in UCC. Okay, so now that we've completed our shy talk for the week, we're going to come back to our topic of the week, which is new beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to hear from you both about any kind of cursed new beginnings or doomed ventures that you might have started.
There's a bit of chocolate on my dress, I think.
Okay, that's not what I asked. So can you please try and stay on topic?
Sorry, okay, yeah.
Well, I think my first doomed new beginning was probably birth.
Yeah.
I see that for you.
I see your mom agrees.
I was breech.
Were you?
Yes, both my sister and I were breech.
Oh, so really?
I always say, sure, look, we came into the world our Swiss.
So that was very rude of you to do
womb.
That.
What? The your womb was fine. I was womb. Backwards.
But both your sister and you, that's... indicate the problem with your mother. Mother.
Okay, whoa.
Oh,
right. So that's where my doom started.
I'm joking, Bernie.
Wow, this is turning into something far less frivolous.
No, Bernie, don't listen.
And the most cursed new beginning I can think of is March 2020. Not necessarily for the reason that you think.
Okay.
So the day the schools closed, I broke up with my boyfriend.
Oh, dear.
And then after like a week, he moved out. And then at the time, you remember we were getting all that lovely free money from the government?
Oh, shut up.
So I thought it would be a good idea to get a job while everyone was getting free money, because sure, I'd go cracked otherwise. So this was my logic. I was like, oh, wow, the government's giving me loads of free money. Maybe I should work instead for a lower wage. So at the time...
Perfect.
Because I was actually unemployed at the time because I was teaching English at the time. But that all got kiboshed.
Mm.
That was pre anything.
Jesus, you've had a thousand lives. You've taught English.
Yeah, very briefly. But sure, all the kids are coming from Italy. And do you remember that?
Oh, God. Yeah. That was giving epicenter.
Yes. Ciao, Bella.
Yeah.
Babbity-bobbity. So then... So I was unemployed at the time, even though I still got the pop. I don't know. But I was like, okay, I'll get a job. So one of my friends was doing agency work.
Mm.
And she was like, oh, would you like to work in Lidl as a temp? And I was like, yeah.
Perfect.
Lidl'll be great.
What? Every Lidl helps.
Every Lidl. Well, it wasn't helping me. So signed up to work in Lidl. And I think the pay was quite good.
Yeah,
like you could earn a good bit. Well, it was agency work, so you were getting more than the people who were actually working there.
Yeah.
Mm. So myself and my good friend Shakira Knightley and sister, were like, yeah, we'll do. It'd be grand, you know, keep us occupied.
So you brought her in on this cursed plan as well.
Yes, oh, yeah. Perfect. So we arrived.
A doom shared is a doom multiplied.
Yeah. a doom shared is not a doom slate.
No.
So we arrive anyways, and we are expecting, you know, to like be, you know, absorbed into thing, get a roster, all this kind of thing.
Sure.
So we just got there and there was like four of us that were temps, and there was like four other staff working there. Now, this is at the start of the Penny D. So this was when the plandemic.
Wake up, sheeple.
So very uncomfortable with this satire.
Sorry.
This is when, you know, there was no toilet paper. The eggs were all gone.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know,
is that why they needed
I couldn't
so many
get couscous and gory.
Well, this...
Oh my God.
What do you mean there's no semolina?
Did you think people in Wexford would know how to use couscous now? I thought I was safe with that.
Bam,
you've isolated the county already. I couldn't.
But it is non-perishable, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's true.
So basically we were kind of thrown in the deep end, and all the people who actually worked there hated us, because turns out there was not enough work for the agency.
Okay.
There was barely enough work for the people that were actually working there,
okay,
because there was no stock. But there was no stock to replenish the stock.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was
goodness.
Just empty shelves, empty chairs and empty tables.
Right.
So no one basically told us what to do. So we had to kind of like look busy, which was really hard when there was nothing to do. And also you didn't know like the tips and tricks for like how to look busy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just the most tedious, horrible experience of my life. And there was no music. They don't play any music in Lidl. I don't know if you've noticed.
Oh my God.
There's no music.
They do these covers.
No, Aldi. They play music.
They do it little around.
No music.
They do these weird covers.
Oh, God.
Everyone was like, you know, depressed and just milling around. And then people come up going like...
the hams.
It wasn't even hams.
Oh, God.
People just come up going like, sorry, do you know when the eggs are back? And I'd be like, oh, Tuesday. But I had no clue. But basically, an hour felt like a day. And like you'd be there and it's like, okay, surely it's been like 3 hours now. And you look at the phone and it's like, it's been 20 minutes.
Oh, no.
And I was working with my best friend. And we can knock a lot of crack out of a lot of nothing.
Sure.
There was nothing to be taken from this.
Getting
it was
out.
Just wandering around looking for a piece of cardboard to pick up to put in the bin.
Oh.
And try and make a job out of that. Oh, it was hellish. Like,
awful.
So we did one day and we were like, never again. So we didn't come back for the rest of the week. Okay. And then the following week, I felt a bit guilty because I was like, I know you're better off working. So I think we'll go back again. So we went back the following Monday and it was worse.
Oh, God.
So we tried to leave halfway through because I was like, sure, no one knows what our crack is. So I think we'll just leave at lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like getting ready to go out. And then the guy, the manager who like hadn't spoke to us at all, was like, you're going on lunch now, yeah? And we were like, yeah. So they're like, oh God, we have to come back. So we came back and like slaved through another shift. But yeah, that was like the most cursed thing ever. I don't know how anyone works in Lidl.
That
it
is
horrific.
Genuine doom.
That is.
It probably isn't that bad working in.
No.
It probably isn't that bad working in Little Uzi. That was just horrific.
I don't know. They don't
having
look,
no jobs.
They don't look particularly don't bubbly and vivacious.
I don't think they're having a scream.
Also.
Screaming internally, maybe.
When we were leaving on our last shift. Well, they didn't know it's our last shift. But we had a bottle of wine because we were like, we fucking needed it. So we got a bottle of wine. And Yuan, who was working with me all day, ID'd me. And she was like, sorry, I have to ask. And I was like, you really don't though.
Power move.
You really don't have that to ask.
Yeah. That was the dumb.
I like that.
So anyways,
you would do that.
Do you know what, actually, staying on the topic of that time, and it's also, let's talk about your new beginning, because I had a new beginning coming. Okay. I was getting a vagina in March.
Sorry, my eyes quite loud.
We're having some chilled beverages. Water, because we're doing dry tan. It's water.
Yeah. Anyway, it was March 2020 when I was supposed to get my vagina.
How quaint.
And I decided I'm going to have a little hot girl summer. Gorge. While I have these genitals.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just going to ride the bloody arse out of the world.
Oh, very good.
And, well, actually, I never topped. So, the other way around.
Yeah.
But anyway, I went and I kissed and I sucked and I... grinded and I frottaged and
twisted, held and
everything.
Bopped.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. I spin it.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, then I got mono.
Oh fuck!
Oh
no!
Well, that's when you know you had a hot girl summer.
That's truly
yeah.
June.
So that happened, Christ. And then it got worse and worse and worse, and then I couldn't. My throat closed and I couldn't swallow anything anymore, even water. So I had to go to A&E. And I went to A&E and that was grand. They put me on morphine, which was lovely.
Yummy.
And all that kind of stuff. And there were these little news broadcasts going on in the back of my... saying stuff about, I don't know, you know, coronavirus and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, sure, love.
I was barely registered.
It won't take off.
And, I remember actually sitting with someone and went, oh, it's another Ebola. It's another Ebola. People are panicking over nothing. I said that to my friends still bring that up. So anyway, I was supposed to be getting my Adam's apple removed, tracheal mm-hmm. shave. So, mm-hmm. like... And my throat was so swollen that I couldn't fly to London to get that done.
No.
I remember emailing my doctor while I was in a morphine haze, being like, but when can we do it? And like, I was like, maybe I should stop messaging him. He was lovely. Anyway, I was lying there one day and the nurse brought in my breakfast and she said to me, do you hear the schools are closing? And I was like, what?
Oh.
And she was like, the schools are closing. And I was like, what? I was like, why? And she was like, coronavirus. And I was like, what? And
what about my tracheal shave?
It was... literally like one of those apocalypse movies where you wake up from a coma and there's zombies wandering off.
Yeah,
like, honestly,
you were 28 days later.
I was shook.
You were Killian Murphy. Yeah.
That doesn't really fit with the theme of new beginnings, but that's
well,
my story.
Well, you were trying to have a new beginning and it was scuppered.
It was the beginning of...
It couldn't have been more scuppered.
Yeah, it was the beginning of a difficult time period for this country and the world.
For the world. My... new beginning doom. Most of my new beginning dooms are related to like starting something full of like hope and expectation and then quickly learning all is not as I imagined and then feeling under extreme social pressure to continue.
Like this
the
podcast.
Doomed activity. Yeah, yeah. The example that when I was thinking about this theme, I was like, what is my like most cursed new beginning? And the thing I thought of was when I started college, I was like, I'm a brand new bitch now. I'm going to start my life. I'm going to be, you know, the best version of me.
It's 1992.
It's 1992.
Here I go.
No, what year was
1969,
it?
1969, the summer of love.
No, it was 2003.
Guys,
and
how old were you, Ella? I was 7.
I was 6. I was 6.
Well, look, sure. You're listed, look. I'm an old bitch, okay? We know that already.
You know the people who were 2000, who were born in 2003 are 20 now.
No, I know. That's so disturbing. That's so disturbing. Anyway. I was starting college, like, sick.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you have colleges then?
Give over.
She cut the ribbon on Trinity.
It was Queen's College at the time.
Queen Victoria was there.
I gave them the Book of Kells.
And you know, it used to be a bookies before that.
Enough age quips. Okay.
God. But I decided I was going to get fierce new hair. And
they were very in style. The disco fever.
Yeah, disco was in.
Disco fever.
I had a leather suit and a hot afro.
road to go with this.
Gorge. Mm. But well, it was the Celtic Tiger. So okay. It was like, it was near, the Celtic Tiger kind of ended in like 2007. So we were still in the height of it. And I obviously had notions at like 18. I was like, I'm going to go to Tony and Guy because I deserve Tony and Guy.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so I went and because it was the noughties, that was a very, very difficult time for men's hair. Especially gay men's hair.
Yeah.
And
a lot of expression, but not necessarily of what you should be expressing. Yeah.
Things you should never say.
Yeah.
Expressed through the hair.
These were the times where we were called metrosexual if you showered often.
Yeah. No, I fully was. So I went in and I was like, just give me something like, you know, fresh and funky or whatever. And so I ended up getting this haircut that was like a very short fringe that was like cut straight across.
Okay.
So the front bit was like flat fringe, but then there was like a mohawk bit as well.
Oh no.
Yes. And I
Dick
was like,
Van Dyke.
And she, it was giving carpentry. And so she like spun me around in the chair and I was like, wow. But then, like, so initially I was like, wow, this is great. And then I was, because up to then, right, I'd had, basically my whole life has been one, like, series of hair don'ts. So I had, like, a mullet when I was a child before, I know they're back in, but it wasn't, they weren't in at the time.
Mm.
And, but I loved it so much because it gave me so much expression. And that's why I'm good at whipping wigs around, I will say. The mullet gave me the training.
Yeah, you've got that upper neck muscle.
That's it, yeah. Mm. And then I got curtains. In the 90s, you know, the curtains where you have like a center part. And
oh,
like
gorge, very Leo DiCaprio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Stephen Gately.
Maybe Leno or DiCaprio.
Like, yeah. Lean over DiCaprio.
Ooh.
which actually was kind of cute. But then I grew that into a lesbian bomb.
Beautiful. Mm.
Yeah, which wasn't good. But that was more to hide.
Show me the length.
Well, it started, it was like, oh, do you know what? I looked like a little bit. Does anyone, well, you might know, but T-Boz from TLC.
Oh, right.
Yes. I do know.
So almost a Karen, but there was just no volume at the back. But right. I had the like, you know.
Frame the face.
It was like
face.
A pob. Yeah, like a choppy pob.
Okay.
And then I grew that down to just like horrible shoulder length. And it was all center
shoulder
part.
Shoulder length?
Yeah.
Really?
But it was all center part, which doesn't suit me because it just made my nose look like so broad. It was so gross.
Well, I've seen you in a long wig with no makeup.
Yeah.
And you're giving like Skater Seth. So I can't imagine you with shoulder length hair.
Giving who?
Skater Seth.
Skater Seth.
Yeah.
What's that? Skater?
Just like a skater guy boy. Called Seth, Seth who's like stoner and a bit of redneck maybe.
Okay, I thought it was
I kind of looked a bit like RuPaul
references that I don't get.
But the hair, when I had the shoulder length hair, it wasn't like cool and grungy. It was like really glossy and bouncy because I wanted it to be like glam. So I used to blow dry it and it like smelled like herbal essence.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was actually stunning, but it just didn't look good. So then when I cut all that off, I got like, you know, the messy on top, basically kind of what it looks like now. But then I went through this like Tony and Guy phase and I ended up going to the same person each time. And this person, basically whenever I went in and said I wanted, they ignored and they just gave me whatever they happened to have at the time.
Mm.
So he basically would just, you know, it was a carbon copy of his own haircut. And because he was a hairdresser in Tony and Guy in the noughties, his hair was fucking wild all the time. So okay. My hair ended up being just bizarre and disgusting. And like, I'm just not handsome enough to carry off that hair. Do you know? It just did not look good. And
was he gay?
Yes.
It was probably his only opportunity to procreate by making you a little mini version of him.
Yeah, it was. Maybe he was like, it was like some sort of like narcissistic expression. Who knows? But he also kept getting promoted. So he got more and more expensive.
Oh, jeez.
So by the time, like, by the time I stopped my Tony and Guy journey, he was like 70 euro a go.
Oh,
which
geez.
Is a lot for a men's haircut.
For your North Korean prescribed haircut.
Literally for the Kim Jong-un special. And the only way I escaped it was that Tony and Guy closed. So he went off
and became Peter Mark.
I think he went off to a different branch or whatever. So once he left, I knew I was free. And I was like, thank God I'm free of that. And then I just started going to like Grafton Barber and I was like, oh, thank God. This is so much better.
So would you say you had a new beginning?
I did. I had a new beginning after my doomful first new beginning ended with a non-curse.
That's truly full of doom, poor baby Spiky Annie.
But like, they were my college years, and I just had like the worst possible hair the whole time.
No one looks good in college.
Because, especially not then. Christ. Yeah. Like, what did we watch? We watched the other day, it was like a passion fashion. Was it?
Passion.
Oh my God. From the noughties.
It was a gay episode.
Oh no.
Oh, the horror. No, it was horrific.
No, it was just...
We forget how bad it was.
Yeah. Because the thing about like clothes and stuff in the 90s was like, we didn't know what we were trying to say, but we were screaming. Do you know?
Yeah.
We just put a scarf around our waist.
Yeah, it was very kid, got into the dress up box.
Yeah. And like all this cursed layering.
Over a t-shirt.
Like, yeah. And then, or maybe like the presenter of Passion Fashion was wearing like a shirt with like a corset on top of it.
It was like
a bustier for the office. It was just so weird and stupid. So we're all gone around looking like absolute losers.
Well, like the whole era of like, you know, dressing like you're going to work to head out.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Chunky necklaces, peplum top.
Yeah.
Pencil skirt and like a sock bun. Like, now that was more late noughties, but that was a very strange
That was like 2010.
But you know, obviously fashion is always retrospective in that sense that like it's chic at the time. And then you look back and you go, what were we like?
No, but
the noughties feels particularly like lost.
No, but in the noughties, I felt that. Mm. I literally had conversations with my friends where I was like, what are we all doing? Mm. But we didn't know what else to do. But we were just like, I guess I'll just wear two different shoes. Why not?
Yeah.
No, like we just were very lost. Very lost. Didn't know what we were doing. So
I'm mad for accessories.
Oh,
scarves and belts.
Oh, but like placed all wrong. Like
a sash belt.
Oh no, terrible. Or fucking cardigans.
Cardigans, skinny jeans are not my lover.
Yeah.
Okay, one of us is wearing cardigans, so let's go.
No, but this is different.
Yeah.
Cardigans for
mine's
men,
chic.
I'm just against it. Yeah. So yeah, that was my new beginning doom. And it actually went on for so many years until it was because I felt like if I went to somebody else I was cheating on him
because you not have tried another salon. You went
there was no way
no hairdressing is very intimate because if you don't go in like the next 3 weeks they know
exactly.
Yeah, but you could
and
just...
then you have to come crawling back.
Oh. But why do you have to come calling back
or
calling
one
back?
Time I couldn't get my guys.
See, I don't get my haircuts.
I had to
really
get the guy beside him and I was just like, it's not what it looks like.
Yeah, one time I went a few times to Tony and Guy and your man wasn't available, so I had to go to somebody else and I would like prefer their haircut.
Oh, but then you're really stuck. Yeah,
but I had to just be like, I was thinking of you the whole time.
Yeah.
That meant nothing.
That happened to me with my laser hair removal. I got it from another girl one time and she was so much better, but I couldn't do it to my woman. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I really would prefer to ask her, but I'm sure that woman doesn't give a shit about me. Like,
And also it could have just been like, you know, a summer romance.
An easy
You
day.
Know, a quick, a little fling.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Would we like a listener submission?
We would.
Dear listener, our first one.
Yeah.
We've already demonstrated how good we are at... advice, I think. So
yes.
I think people will be...
And how good we are at already having a listenership considering this is our first episode.
Oh,
yes,
we're brilliant.
Yes. We've been inundated with letters.
Yes.
And
our trailer has gone viral.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a letter in from a listener.
Yay!
Somehow.
Lovely. Oh my God. Wow. Through the ether.
Possibly from the future.
Yes, one of our psychic listeners.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And this comes from Burgeoning Romance 69.
Oh,
yes. And they have a very direct but very important question.
Thank you for reaching out, Mr. 69.
Mister?
Did
you just assume gender?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I can do it.
Cancelled on the first episode.
Okay, check your privilege.
Check your lipstick before you come for me.
So, Burgeoning Romance 69 says, what are the do's and don'ts of a new relationship?
Is that it?
Yeah.
I think
they're to the point.
Just don't.
Yeah, fair. But if it's a new relationship, they might be too far gone.
I think do tell them that you're in love with them and you can't live without them immediately.
I think, yeah.
Create a dynamic where they're fearful for your life.
Yeah, make them think that you'll hurt yourself if they leave you. Yes.
Say things like, I don't know what I'd do if we broke up. And it's like, it's been one date.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that fosters a real kind of like intense connection.
Bro, yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily one that... they might enjoy, but as long as you feel that they are worried about you, aka care about you, then you will feel loved.
That is what love
Here's one. If their sibling calls them and like is crying and you can hear them crying on the other end of the phone and it seems like a very stressful situation, maybe they're saying, no, hang on until I get there. Don't acknowledge it. Don't ask about it.
Don't pry. No. Don't pry. No,
that's their own business.
Don't offer support because that would be suffocating.
Yeah.
You have to let them... deal with their own problems.
Yeah. Don't establish healthy bonds.
Except your problems are their problems also.
Your problems are actually just their problems now because I think it's their job to solve your problem.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you should be their main focus. And you should let them know that.
I mean, we all know that a relationship means that one person is the main character and the other person is not even a secondary character, but more of kind of like, you know, a roadie or
a personal assistant.
A DA.
Mm. What do you think we'd be like in a relationship? We'd be main characters.
I think also it's a great idea to present a certain version of yourself that they will probably most enjoy. You shouldn't.
Don't be yourself.
Don't be yourself.
No.
No. No. No.
At least not
That's
for the first.
That's too risky.
Years.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think maybe even create new personality traits.
New name.
New name. Yeah. New identity, maybe. Mm-hmm.
New beginning.
New beginning.
Hire some actors to play your friends.
Yeah.
They need invest.
Invest in some actor friends.
Also, go through their phone all the time to make sure that they're not suspecting this ruse.
Or cheating on you. Because...
But you should probably cheat on them a bit. Just so they know they could lose you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, if but they're not good enough. Don't afford them the same opportunity.
No, no, no.
Because they have obviously, like, you know, they've castrated themselves now and you own their entire sexual prowess and being.
And what else does Cher say in Clueless? Show skin because it reminds men of sex.
Yeah.
Send yourself little gifts.
Yes.
I can't remember the rest of her advice.
Stand back because it's Monet.
Yeah. And always recycle. Always recycle.
As F. I think we really helped that person out.
I think that relationship is going to do really well.
Yeah.
Burgeoning romance 69.
You're
welcome.
Good luck.
Have we any other letters from any other
letters from
unfortunate?
So I have quite kind of an existential one.
Okay.
Made you wonder whether we should be serious about this one. I mean, we took the last one really seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should be a bit more lighthearted.
We treat them all with, be a bit more levity.
Okay, well, this person wants to know, how do I start enjoying life? And this person is called Nifty OK.
Say that name again.
Nifty OK.
Gorge.
Nifty. Are you sure it's not Nifty OK?
No, it's Nifty OK. I've decided.
I have a
whole letter. Like,
yeah, can we have more details?
Oh, there's more.
Yeah.
Okay.
But wait, there's more.
So, dear Doomslayers, I turned 20 several months ago, and I feel like I'm already wasting my life. I'm anxious, nervous, stressed out, angry, can't sleep right, always wanting to be perfect, always wanting to impress people, always putting, well, you know what, you could start by talking a bit less, putting other people's needs before my own, and I just want to stop and enjoy life. Fair enough.
Right.
Every day I think about the finiteness of life. Okay, I'm skipping that paragraph.
Wow.
Guys, I think this might have got mixed up with my diary entry.
Hearing all that news about violence, hatred, death, but like, it takes a massive toll on me knowing I can't do anything about it. Fair enough.
Right.
I don't want to be unhappy, miserable, scared and paranoid all the time. I really don't. I want to enjoy my existence, but I don't know where to start at all. Any tips or pointers, especially since adulthood, is pretty stressful already. Well, you're not an adult. I'll say that. You're 20.
No, you're still a baby. Child. I would say a good, healthy step to start would be maybe try like going to a sauna.
Ooh.
You know?
Because they're steamy.
Sweat it out.
Yeah.
kind of like get it hot enough that you kind of can't really think or breathe and you feel a bit lightheaded.
Oh, yes. Overwhelm your system.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You're kind of like, because what's happening now is you're operating at a frequency that you don't need to be there.
No.
So just operate at like a more intense frequency by overstimulating yourself either physically or mentally with other things. So maybe try drugs.
Alcohol.
These are the old reliables, you know. And you can never have enough.
If you're never sober, you're never unhappy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then nothing matters.
No.
Nothing. That's what Madonna's song is about. Nothing really matters when you're in the sauna.
When I was very young, nothing really mattered to me.
Yeah.
So maybe 20. Take a lesson from that. Listen to Madonna.
I think when you can't access the sauna or drugs, you could just lean into delusional and fantastical thinking.
Yes.
Delusions of grandeur.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah. Just like, possibly, you know, leaning into split personalities.
Yeah. And
leaning into maybe something that could be clinically diagnosed.
Yeah.
But something that saves you from the harsh reality of life.
And saving money by not actually getting diagnosed, just self-diagnosed.
Oh, goodness. No, no, you mustn't see a doctor.
No. Not a quack.
No. Not a quack. They're just going to steal your money and you'll still be struggling.
Yeah.
So you might as well struggle for free. It's going to
give you more
girls.
Questions than answers. Because you have all the answers.
Yeah, they're all within. The voice within.
I find
the voice is within.
I find if you have a mirror by your front door as well and you look in it before you go out, and if you look a bit sad, just smack yourself in the face and say, "Back up, you stupid bitch. Back up. Nobody wants to see you sad."
Yeah.
Yeah, self-flagellation. Oh, great distraction. Oh,
one thing that really...
Layla was being method there.
Yeah. Actually slapping my
face. I think one thing that helped me, I think routine is very important.
Yeah.
So one thing I started doing is like first thing in the morning, the minute I wake up, like I open my eyes and I just go, and then I make my bed.
I really imagine that for you.
And I think that really helps.
Like, you don't sound like you go to the nightclub very often, you know, just enjoy yourself.
But you know what's also good? If you start collecting something, like
Stamps,
teacups, you know, baby toys, and make that your entire personality. Yeah, baby tea. Yeah.
Become a Disney adult.
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody loves those.
They have cracked the code, Disney adults.
Yeah, that is delusion personified, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because they're getting lost in whimsy. And it becomes their entire being. And there's even, you know, there are several meccas in the world where they can come together.
Yeah,
and they're never annoying.
Gypsy Rose yourself.
Gypsy Rose.
Oh, Jesus.
Right. A thought leader on this topic.
Speaking of new beginnings.
Yeah. did we solve that one? No,
I just do want to wrap that up by saying I would not want to be 20 again for the world.
No.
It's not fun being young.
I would like to have my current mind in my 20-year-old body.
Oh, definitely.
That would be fierce.
I think the only people that like have more fun the younger they are like straight men.
Yeah.
I think everyone else, because like has so much, it kind of works backwards where like you kind of have a shit time and then it slowly gets better and better and better.
Yeah, and then straight men have a ball.
Yeah, and then they kind of get a bit bored and then that's why they have midlife crises and all that kind of stuff.
Whereas, the crack actually decreases in their lives.
All those oppressed types, we just start actually living and sliving in our later years.
A midlife crisis is a privilege.
That person should become queer because you can choose that.
Yes.
You can choose it.
That is an option.
Just choose to be queer.
Yeah, I can send you the sign up.
Yeah, and we can give you, we have a discount code.
Yes.
What are they called? Nikita okay? Nifty okay?
Nifty okay.
Yeah.
Nifty okay.
Yeah. Yeah, just become a queer.
Yeah.
Change your username though if you're becoming queer. You wouldn't want a nifty okay on Grindr.
No. But we can cut them through all that. We can cut them through all
that. Just put quickie as one of your tags.
And remember, we're always on the other end of the Gmail.
Yes. Yay. Yes, there is an option if anyone would care to tell us their doom and we will do our best to slay it.
Yes.
If you go to the link in our bio, there is an option there where you can fill in a form and send
us... I'll put that in the description notes.
Anonymously, is it?
All anonymous, yes. And then you could also email us, but that'd be kind of less anonymous now because we could figure out who you are.
We will triangulate the GPS.
Yeah.
Even if you do send it anonymously, we will find you.
Yeah. And Annie's Instagram is open for dick pics. Always.
Wide open.
No such thing as unsolicited in this world.
No, no. It's just surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So please do, if you do have any doom you want us to dissect and discuss.
To slay
for you. Please do get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. And we won't mock you behind your back at all, will we?
No.
We'll take it as seriously as we did to those.
Yes.
Yes.
You can trust us. This is a 69. Safe space.
I don't know who's safe, but there's certain safety.
We have a safe in the apartment.
I have one from another listener.
Okay.
Called You Wanna Bugatti. And they have said...
Is that an offer? Because yes.
Dear Doomslayers, I've recently started a new job and I'm finding it hard to become friends with my colleagues.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any advice for what I could do?
No.
I don't.
Sorry.
Throw yourself into your work.
Yeah, I think if they go in and show everybody up, that will...
Be better.
Everybody will understand that you're the best and they'll want to be friends with you.
That's true.
Yeah. You know,
dominant force.
If you're become a threat.
Yeah. If you're, yeah. And then they'll be like, oh, we better align with this person.
Yeah. Get really well in with the manager.
Yes. Befriend people much higher up than you.
Yeah. That they all bitch about.
Get a specialised topic and then talk about it every time you see them at lunch. Like, did you see Ross Naroon last night?
No, but my favourite episode of Ross Naroon, guys... Yeah, I think that'd be great. Yeah. Specifically Ross Naroon.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Just Ross Naroon is your personality. You're welcome. You want a Bugatti.
Do you know what? My parents actually live beside an actress from Ross Naroon.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I got asked to audition for Ross Naroon. I was like, absolutely not. I can't speak Irish.
My cousin went out with someone who worked in Ross Naroon.
Oh, my goodness.
But they then broke up with the whole family. It's like, oh, I miss him because he was on Ross Naroon. Oh,
I didn't know we were living in like a Ross Naroonocracy. How do all three of us have a connection to Ross Naroon?
It's Ross Naroon's world and we're just living
Yeah, Ross Naroon courses through my veins.
Ross Naroon the world.
Who Ross Naroon?
Stupid. No, but I actually I think it's okay to be friends with your coworkers in work. And then I would hate to be in a workplace where I didn't feel like I could chat to my coworkers and stuff. Yeah. But I actually don't hang out with any of my coworkers outside of work.
It's always hard to be the new kid.
Yeah.
And it gets way harder the older you get, I think.
Yeah.
Because, really? Well, you know when you're young.
Well, somebody wasn't trans when they were young.
Cisgender alert.
White male privilege. Well, you know, in school, if you actually just kind of make the step, usually people are you're like, hey, I like your rubber. And they're like, hey, want to be friends? Whereas,
that would work.
I like your rubber. That's my new icebreaker. I like your rubber.
Speaking of rubber. Patrick from Ross Naroon.
Previously on Ross Naroon.
No, I'm so obsessed with Ross Naroon being your favorite.
But when you get older, you don't have as much requirement to make friends because you generally have enough. So you might necessarily be arsed or be reciprocative of someone who's kind of gone,
be friends with me.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it can be trickier to have
adults are very put off by neediness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people don't want to take on stuff. And
Yeah.
Whereas when you're younger, people generally want to have friends. You want many friends as possible.
Yeah.
Speaking of the new year,
do you see yourself making any new friends in 2024 or are you done?
No, I think I'm getting rid of some old ones.
Yeah, cut the fat.
Score the fat.
Yeah. Get rid of some legacy friends.
Yeah.
You know the friends that, you're just not vibing with anymore. I don't think I have any of those left.
Name them.
Name them.
Name them.
Name them.
Name them.
No, I think I'm always open to new friendships.
Me too. I make a lot of new friends. I've made some good new friends in 2023 that I consider very close.
Yeah.
I feel like it's always going to happen with me. That's I think I just, my stocks replenished. But like also, well, you probably, your age group probably doesn't do this, Annie. But like mine, I'll leave the country all the time. I have two friends going to Australia in 2 weeks.
No, like, I'm
Annie's friends are all dying.
Funeral after funeral. No, my I'm past that immigration phase.
Oh, that must be nice.
They're actually coming back now. And yeah. I'm like, I've been here this whole time, hey.
And my face looks the same.
Yeah, I think one of my ins for 2024 is definitely, I know a lot of people. I have a lot of people who are friends, but like actually like going, oh, I should spend a bit more time with you.
Yeah, like go for coffee and stuff with people that I know
agree.
You vibe with. Yeah.
Broaden my like inner sanctum.
Yeah, I think you should be less precious about your time.
Yeah, that's a good in. Do you have any ins for 2024?
No.
Okay. Next question. Else, do you have any else?
No. I really can't think of anything. I'm sorry.
I'll spitball some ins and we can all react.
Okay.
So one of my ins, I already do this, but I want to continue doing this, is I call them Jessie Ware showers, but it's basically a candlelit shower with music. Because you think candlelit bath, yes, but like why not a candlelit shower? Yeah. So light some candles in the bathroom, turn off the lights, put on a bit of music and wash yourself.
So nice. Much less hassle than a
and it feels amazing. Very therapeutic.
She has indoctrinated me into the Jessie Ware shower.
Yeah,
Jessie
Ware.
And it is restorative.
Or I do like a bit of Tom O'Dell sometimes if I want to. Something a bit kind of like,
just
not a banger, just a bit kind of flowy.
No, not Charlie XCX.
Yeah. No, not hyper pop.
No,
not Slater or Selena. No, someone, maybe a bit of Adele.
Yeah.
You know,
I
something
don't know
like
how
that.
A bit of practical that is when you live with 25 people, you know.
Why?
I
it doesn't have to be long. Yeah, it doesn't have to be long.
Layla lives in a tenement.
Yeah, I usually would only maximum three songs.
Have six people waiting outside with their big bathrobes and their massive scrubbing brushes and their shower caps on, saying, "Hurry up, Layla."
And I'm
marching up the stairs like the boys and Mamma Mia doing Layla Love on Me.
And all that jazz.
Another thing that I think I'd like to bring in is, and I think you'll agree with me on this, Annie, is pantsing.
Pantsing. We just talked about consent a second ago.
Well, look at Doom and Slay. You have to have the good and the bad. We recently watched a Netflix show called Fool Me Once.
Fool Me Once.
Starring Michelle Keegan, Joanna Lumley.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, it's actually fierce.
There is a bizarre moment where she's accusing the soccer coach of being inappropriate to the kids due to his language, and he basically tells her to piss off, so she retaliates by pantsing him.
In the middle of a football field.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and that's like, in the first episode. Yeah. It's inexplicable.
It's the most bizarre thing that happens in the whole show, and it's literally like a murder mystery.
Did everything come down?
Yeah. And it's like surrounded by kids, but it was like, why would Michelle Keegan just go,
why would
and pants someone?
One time I was at a bowling alley at a kid's birthday. Well, I was a child too. We were children at a birthday party, and I pulled someone's pants down, and everything came down.
Oh my goodness!
Well, I'm still laughing.
You have no regrets about
her mom? No, I do. Like her mom. Like, sorry, so I did it to a boy, but like the child whose birthday it was, mom took me aside and berated me, and I was not allowed to play bowling for the rest of the thing, and I was handed to my mother. But it still makes me laugh a lot. The poor little boy got his little todgy watchy came out of the whole bowling alley, and I just did it out of spontaneity.
And that it seems to me he lived his life like a candle in the wind.
But that moment probably scarred him forever.
Sorry, Brendan.
Yeah, that's where the body dysmorphia started.
Yeah. So you
didn't need to
have
that. I was joking, I can't remember.
But I just like the idea of like me and Annie live together, just like, you know, catching her and just going, you know? Because it's kind of
noted.
Like,
noted.
It's funny, but it's also kind of hot.
It's a bit perverted.
Yeah, but it's like, there's something about it. Like,
isn't it like
I just think we should
sexy.
Bring, I just think I want to see it more.
Why do you don't wear pants? I wear dresses.
Pull them up. Yeah.
You'd love that though. You'd love
that.
Yeah, you do it.
You just get a fan and we can Marilyn you.
She's
and you just
like,
go,
yeah, she's self Marilyn's.
Yeah. And my final in is shots that aren't tequila, sambuca, or baby Guinness.
So, tequila Rose.
Tequila Rose, thank
you. I love
you.
Tequila
thank
Rose.
Thank you, we have a new girl finally.
I love tequila Rose.
But why is it so
it's gorgeous. Creamy tequila?
No, it's beautiful. Nice.
It doesn't taste like tequila at all.
No, it's gorgeous. It tastes like... Have you tried it?
Yeah.
It tastes like Calpol, I think.
I do like Calpol, but I'm just against... I'm against dairy-based alcohols that aren't Baileys.
Tell that to
the...
You like a baby Guinness.
Oh. They tell it to the Baileys in the fridge. Yeah.
No, she knows how I feel.
But I feel like there was a time where you could get like an array of shots.
True, a slippery nipple or...
Yeah, and I feel like no one does that anymore. And if you say it, they're like, ugh.
Yeah.
Do you know, let's bring
brain liquor. No, brain hemorrhage.
Oh,
yeah. Monkey brain.
I actually really liked a brain hemorrhage.
Blow job. Nice. Lollipop.
Rusty trombone.
Dirty Sanchez.
Truffle butter. Do people still do aftershock?
No, nowhere has aftershock anymore. No. I don't even know if they make it anymore.
I don't, like, you can't even get a Blue Lagoon anymore.
Really, I did ask for a Purple Haze in Street 66 and the person didn't know what it was.
Oh.
And this is a failure of the system.
Queer culture. Society. Yeah.
Yeah.
We should at least have them in gay places. Like, come on.
Come on, something for the girls.
Do you have any outs?
Apologising for long voice notes. I think if you're apologising for a long voice note and you feel like you have to apologise for a long voice note to me, then you shouldn't be voice noting me.
Don't send the voice note.
True. You know? I have an in, actually. Phone calls. You hate phone calls,
Oh,
Annie.
No, goodness, no.
No, cold calls.
No, no. That is so
I love calling
terrifying.
People. I get lonely sometimes.
Well, no,
it's too real.
Like calling people for the crack. I feel like I don't do that as much anymore.
You like a phone call, Donna.
We used to have phone calls, I feel like.
I feel like I don't do it as much as I used to.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. No, and he goes to her bedroom where they're just like, hey.
Hiya. No, I'm dead set against them. No.
I know.
No, terrifying.
I always call you and then I have to apologise because I'm like, fuck, sorry, I forgot you forgot. Because
no,
I'm just
if
I'm expecting somebody to come over or like, I'm like, instead of texting them being like, when you get the ice, I'll ring them and be like, so what's your story?
Yeah, no, sometimes it's easier.
Yeah, but no. She doesn't answer them.
No, a phone call to me is the communication version of being pantsed. I can't, if I'm going to receive a phone call, we have to schedule it, clear it in advance. And then even if I'm going to ring someone, I still text them like, is it okay to ring you now?
Yeah.
Because I'm so against them. I think they're
terrifying. Do you know what that sounds like to me?
What?
Shame. Only joking.
So just to wrap up, Donna, I know you have one more burning question that you want to ask Layla.
Yes, Layla.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
When is your new beginning going to end?
Well, like, life has always been hard for me.
And fortunately, that's all we have time for this week on Doomslayers. If you would like to share your doom with us, please follow the link in our bio on Instagram at DoomslayersPod. And remember,
if you can't Ross yourself, how the hell are you going to ruin somebody else?
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Doomslayers are not responsible for any injuries, impalements, prolapses, tweakments, fissures, timeshares, negative equity, large hadron collisions, small servings, epiphanies, or failed two-step verifications. Hereunto experienced and or endured by the listener in response to any advice administered and witness whereof the parties hereunto have set their hands to these presents as a deed on the day, month, and year herein before mentioned. Doomslayers Inc. is a subsidiary of Hunky Farm and Calendars Limited, which is a registered trademark acquisition of Fatherly Fondant Fancies and Sons. Any attempts to slander or sodomize the Doomslayer name could result in cancellation of any outstanding prize bonds and or death.